journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on, through Him I must win. Yes, oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. Yes, oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to Him. He will give me light. Satan's snares, they vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whatever betide. Oh, I want to see Him, look up on His face, there to sing forever. Well, now on the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. Praise the Lord. Amen. Is that your desire? Do you want to see Him? I believe we see Him when we look at each other. I hope we see Him when we look at each other. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? I'll guarantee you one thing tonight. Some of you come to church on Wednesday and went home on Thursday. Now, what do you think about that? That's the first for a lot of us. Went to church on Wednesday, got home on Thursday. Ain't a thing wrong with that. Did we have a time or what? Did we have a glorious time? Praise the Lord. We've got just all kinds of testimonies. I'm gonna read one of them tonight. Actually, I've got two tonight that I want to read. This is from a young man that very dear to my heart. I'm not gonna tell you who it is, but on Wednesday night, I walked into church a tad late to hear the pastor say, I'm not sure why I was led to have this type of service on a Wednesday. I took a seat in the back with family. The past 4+ years he worked at a local restaurant here in Johnson City. I've not been able to make many church services since the weekends are our busiest times. Wednesdays are my only set days off. The sermon was strong but short because there was a prayer line afterwards. The pastor decided to start on the back row and work his way toward the front through roughly 450-ish or maybe 750-ish people. Quite a few people. Guess who the first one was? I know why God decided that on Wednesday and that they started at the back. I've been battling some demons, praying for guidance on some career choices and some personal issues. The Lord blessed me in full. Praise be to God. Praise the Lord. It's all right, ain't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. We just thank God for that. Got another testimony tonight. Well, let's go ahead and do a prayer request. Is that all right? Amen. This is a testimony from Brother Fred Perry. Almost 40 years ago, I had a nervous condition. I didn't know if I should come up to the prayer line for it or not. I thought the Lord placed it in my life for a reason. But my heart pulled me, and for the first time, I spoke about it. My wife was the only one who knew. I went to work on Thursday, no more than 15 minutes on the job. The devil was at it, trying his best to rattle me. But it was all over. It has left me. No words can express what I feel. But thank you, Lord, for all the children of God and those that obey Him. Praise the Lord, Brother Fred. God bless you. Amen. And I know we've got more testimonies on the way that's going to be expressed and shared with people. And we just thank God that He's still on the throne. I want to say this on behalf of Brother Donnie and all the ministers that gave their time and gave their effort and put all their heart into the prayer line. God bless every one of you. God bless every one of you. Amen. God bless every one of you. We certainly appreciate what God is doing in our midst. He is a risen Savior. He is not in a tomb. The only one that's ever been worshipped as a God that come back from the dead is the one we serve. Aren't you glad about it tonight? Aren't you glad you serve a risen Savior? Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. This is a request tonight to pray for James Jones from Raleigh, Missouri. Has pancreatic cancer and severe pain. They're asking that we would remember that need tonight. I want to pray for Sister Connie Cook. She's in the Irwin emergency room with severe pain in her knee. They're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight. I want to pray for Dave Harmon, who's still in the hospital having problems with his thyroid. Let's pray for that need tonight. Here's a prayer request that was sent into the library. A family that's facing a divorce, they're asking that prayer be made on behalf of that. That's the best place to take it, isn't it? Is prayer. So let's remember those folks tonight as we pray. Brother Jonathan Baker says, I want to thank the Lord for healing my back. Brother Jonathan, God bless you. Appreciate that testimony tonight. Isn't God wonderful? All the unspoken prayer requests tonight by the raising of your hand. Could we stand together tonight? Brother Charlie, are you up to coming up here and leading us to the Lord in prayer tonight? We love this little fella right here, don't we? Brother Charlie Torres. Amen. Praise the Lord. How old are you now, Brother Charlie?
I'm going to be 94 in October.
94 year old. Still got a testimony of he loves the Lord. And we love him, don't we? Take us to the Lord, Brother Charlie. God bless you.
Let's bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, we anxiously await for your coming, Lord, for that glorious, precious day. For those, I believe all of us, Lord, have been predestinated to be with you for an eternity, Lord. And Lord, as you know, we're living in an evil world. We anxiously await for that glorious, precious day, Father. Help us in the meantime to be faithful to your word, Lord. To be a living witness of wherever we go that your presence will be there. Help us to overcome the enemy, Lord. To give you glory and honor in these temples of flesh. And Lord, you see the needs here for these requests that have been made, Lord. We believe your word, Father. And we claim your healing to them, Lord, and to us. For your word cannot fail. Your word is you, Lord, and your word cannot ever fail. We look forward to that glorious day of your coming for us, Father. Help us in this hour to overcome the enemy, Lord, to give you glory and honor, even in these temples of flesh. Bless us now with your precious word. Anoint the lips of your servant, our pastor, Brother Donnie. Give us more revelation, more understanding. Help us to overcome the enemy, Lord. Help us to be faithful to your word always. To be a living witness, I repeat again, wherever we go, that your presence will be there. In your precious, wonderful name, we ask it. And we thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Charlie. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you. All those that will be streaming the service tonight, we pray the service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Now, we want to announce that the blood drive will be here at the church over in the fellowship hall on Thursday, August the 11th, from 2 until 7. All blood types are needed. We appreciate all who can give. So you remember that we'll be taking some more, doing some more announcements on that as time goes by. But let's not forget that. They really count on us to do our part, so we want to do that. Now, before we go any further, I want you to turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Saturday night. Oh, I want to see him. Let's sing a little bit more of that. Oh, I want to see him. Amen. Go ahead and play it. Brothers, God bless you. It's good to see you, man. God bless you. It's good to see you, buddy. God bless you. It's good to see you, buddy. God bless you. Jonathan, good to see you, buddy. God bless you. God bless you. It's good to see you. Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you, buddy. Good to see you. Praise the Lord. Oh, now, oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice.
When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to him.
Yes, we will.
He will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whatever betide.
Praise the Lord. Let's sing a song tonight. I never shall forget that day. Amen. I've had a birth that I can't remember and one that I can't forget. How about you? You got that same kind of situation? A birth that you can't remember and one you can't forget. How many of you appreciate that new birth? Aren't you glad for the new birth tonight? Aren't you glad you're born again? Aren't you glad you're on your way to glory? Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise tonight. And I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul rolled away. It made me happy, glad and free. I'll sing and shout for He's everything to me. Happy, glad, and free. I'll
dear feet, just humbly bow. Confess to Jesus,
oh, yes,
your every sin. He'll save and cleanse you, give you glory, peace and joy within.
Well, I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul.
Glory. I'm going to let you be seated. We've got a couple of songs tonight. Brother Brandon going to sing for us. Brother Caleb, he's going to sing for us. Brother Caleb, if you come onto the platform and sing after Brother Brandon gets through singing tonight. We just want to enjoy this service here tonight, don't we? How many of you come with expectations? How many of you come with thankfulness in your heart for what he's done for you? Appreciate Brother Brandon. Appreciate Brother Caleb. Give them a nice hand tonight as they get ready to sing for you.
We're going to try an old one if y'all will help us. Victory in Jesus. I don't know if your brothers have it back there in the back. This is a brand new version. We're going to try it on y'all.
An old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. And I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning, and then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Well, he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Well, I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. My Savior forever. Well, he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Yes, he loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about the blood of the Lamb that was shed for me. It makes me victorious. I know I've been set free. I heard about the blood of the Lamb that was shed for me. It makes me victorious. I know I've been set free. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Well, he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Yes, he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. And I heard about a mansion He has built for us in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. And about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Well, He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming love. Yes, He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Well, He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming love. Yes, He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about the blood of the Lamb that was shed for me. It makes me victorious. I know I've been set free. I heard about the blood of the Lamb that was shed for me. It makes me victorious. I know I've been set free.
I'm going to try one. I traveled to West Virginia the other day, and I'd rather sing three songs than talk up here. But, you know, I was driving, and I had a playlist going, and I heard this song, and I just thought, wow, that's exactly how I feel. And I'm extremely nervous. We'll see how it goes.
You are the love of my life. You are the hope that I cling to. You mean more than this world to me. I wouldn't trade you for silver and gold. I wouldn't trade you for riches untold. You are everything to me. You are the love of my life. This world to me, I wouldn't trade you for silver or gold. I wouldn't trade you for riches untold. You are everything to me. Take one step without you, 'cause I can never go on. And I wouldn't live my life without you, 'cause I can never make it on my own. You are
you mean more than this world to me. I wouldn't trade you for silver or gold. I wouldn't trade you for riches untold. You are everything to me.
Amen. Certainly appreciate the singing tonight. Everybody done well. We appreciate that, don't we? Let's stand. It's time to go into the service tonight. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the word of the Lord. Certainly want to pray for our pastor tonight. The Lord will give him strength in his body. We'll just pull on the gift of God. We'll have a great time here tonight. It's a tremendous honor to be here. I don't know how you're looking at it tonight, but it is an honor and a privilege to be in the house of the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love him. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound. 1,000 years we'll have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound. 1,000 years we'll have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. One more time. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. You believe it? Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Bless you, buddy.
Years have no tempters, and after Jesus shall come back again. Praise the Lord. You believe that?
Amen.
I believe we're living in the presence of that great King already.
Amen.
Physically, certainly he'll be coming back in the millennium, and we're looking for a rapture, but we see him right here among us right now.
Amen.
We're blessed. We're blessed in the presence of the Lord. Let's turn to Isaiah 57, if you would, tonight. Certainly want to say how much we enjoy the service here Wednesday. Cooperation of the brothers, the minister brothers, and the deacons, and the musicians, and all the singers, and everybody that that helped us through it. I so appreciate it. I wish I could have prayed for everybody, but I just couldn't do it. I'm sorry for that. But as I've got older, I guess I can't do what I did when I was younger. I've been in a lot of prayer lines, many of them. I've been preaching now for 42 years, so I prayed for a lot of folks. I've never had one that was so exhausting and so depleting as Wednesday night, which is always a good sign. What that means is you're ministering virtue. Virtue is flowing out of you. So, I mean, that's just wonderful to see what the Lord has done. Just been hearing so many wonderful testimonies of deliverance and healing, and just one after another after another. As a matter of fact, I think we need to share it. For those of you that would want to give a testimony, Brother Michael, we probably need to put some of them maybe up on this screen here for a few services. You don't have to even put your name if you don't want your name on it. But some of the things I've heard have just been outstanding. It wasn't just a little toothache and a little backache and a little headache. I mean, it's been miracles of what God has done. If you'd like to turn something in of what the Lord has done, they can be able to put it up here on the screen. And then I'd like to put something maybe on the website as well. If you don't want your name on there, it's perfectly fine. Just that God done something for you. I think for too long, myself, we have not testified of His glory.
Amen.
We are so afraid that somebody's going to think we're something. We're so afraid that we're going to think, well, people, we're trying to make something out of ourselves. God has been working for eternity making something out of us. It's about time we join His side. Praise the Lord. We're not interested in any glory. We're not interested in any of that. That all belongs to Him. But I do want Him to have the glory. Amen. Amen. It's wonderful, ain't it, just to be in His presence and see Him among us. Not a historical God. A God that used to and something you grab. Well, I wish God would do that today. Man, He is doing it today. He is doing it. Isaiah 57:15 and also Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13. I want to speak to you again tonight on the eternal in the galleries. You pray for me, as I certainly feel better. It took me a couple of days to come back to feeling like a human again, but I'm feeling more like a human tonight. So you pray for me that the Lord will just strengthen me. And I was so concerned about our brothers just praying and Brother Amos had sent me a really cute thing. I think it was yesterday. He said reports have been coming down down in hell. Devils had been coming in disoriented, confused, had sword marks all over them. So that was really a cute little something. I shared that with a couple of people. Brother Amos is a real blessing. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. One sure way to get God near you is to be humble and have a contrite spirit. One sure way to keep him from you is to be full of arrogance and pride. It'll drive him right away from you. That's what drove Satan out of heaven. Pride. Now let's look in Hebrews 9:13. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Now listen to this carefully. Who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament or covenant or will, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called, listen now, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Now he comes to set many, many free. He comes to save many, many, many people. But only those who are called will receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Many will receive the gift of eternal life at the end of the way, but the called receive this. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight. Father, we're still just rejoicing, Lord, at what we've seen you do here among us Wednesday. And we're just believing that those life-changing effects will go on and on, Lord. We just rejoice in seeing the living God among his people. We hunger for you, Lord. We hunger for you. We long to see you. We long, Lord, to be able to walk with you in a way that we've never walked before. Not in some strange, weird doctrine of some sort, but Father, to know you in a newness. Lord Jesus, a refreshing. Speak to us tonight from your word once again, would you, Lord? And may we be benefited by our gathering together. May a portion of our eternal inheritance be revealed a little clearer as we're here in time. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'd like to read to you the quote that I read last week, both services. Your love ought to be to Christ, undefiled. But Satan perverts that love to something of the world. He perverts it so that when he perverted good to wrong and taken the angels with him, a little block fell out of this perfect circle of eternity and dropped down to a place called time. It come right in here, goes around, goes out, and over here, time, eternity, exists right on down through time. Now we believe this, that time is essential in order for God to be able to express himself and all that he is. But the eternal does not exist in time. It's the ways that we, of course, can relate. Can we understand eternal life? Not really. Can we understand eternal inheritance, eternal spirit? The only way we could even begin to understand it would be by God enlightening us to it himself. And we know that God, in purposing to reveal himself, he wrote his will or his dispensational law before the foundation of the world in order to make himself known. Now we know the Ten Commandments existed in time. We know the Torah, the Mishnah, much of the Old Testament existed in time. And it will pass away. And there are things actually in the New Testament that are given for the order of time. We will not mention them in eternity. We will not be preaching holiness in eternity. We will not be preaching, talk abouting, or applying sanctification in eternity. Everybody there will be sanctified. So as there is portions of the Old Testament, even so of the New, that are given specifically for time alone, then when they have completed their session in time, they will no longer be needed. Now, we know that we need faith in time. But now think about it before you judge me. I want to fix and to say, one day faith will merge into sight. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. But when I see him, I no longer need to have faith in that sense of believing and looking for something that I cannot see, because I will no longer be looking at or to the invisible, but I will be looking at the visible, and it will be tangible. You understand that? Now, whenever we think then about him desiring to express his greatness and how wonderful that he was, we know the prophet tells us that had he not condescended to such a place and broke it down, that it would have even blinded the elected. Now think of it, that he is so great that his greatness would have even blinded the elected had he not did it in a work of condescension. And that work was expressed by creation in time. Now it looks like that from the plan of God, that man down here trying to look back, trying to understand it, trying to comprehend it, and there's no way that man can do it, carnal man. But we know that when God inspires us and helps us, and the word goes to coming together, and on occasion we get glimpses of what God has desired to do, then we're able to see. And whenever we see him more clearly, it helps us to see ourselves more clearly, and helps us also to see others more clearly as well. You see, those around the message who become more isolated, and it's only them and their preacher and their church only, you realize they're not getting closer to the rapture. They're getting closer to a denomination. That's right, because as you get closer to a rapture and a revelation of who we are, you realize it ain't just you and your family and your church and your favorite preacher, but there's all kinds of people that's going to be included in the economy of God.
That's right. Now, we know the message itself will never denominate as far as the denominational system, but Brother Branham never told us the spirit of organization wouldn't be around us, and it is and has been for years. And whenever we think now that God did not desire that humans which are not of his own genus would be lost, it is not his will that any should perish. Now, I want you to notice, let's read this again in Hebrews. Let's go back to verse 14. When Paul says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself. Now Christ's entrance is actually contrast with the office of the high priest. Now Paul is running a parallel here in the book of Hebrews, and he's taking the types of the tabernacle, types of the sacrifice, types of the blood, types of the covenant, how the covenant was introduced, the sprinkling of the blood on the book, the sprinkling of the blood on the people, and he's merging them together with what the Lord Jesus had done. Now he's going to bring in the very will and testament of the Lord Jesus to convey to us the mystery of what God had in his mind. Now this is what makes it so confusing and has been down through time since the gospel has been preached, because this is actually the New Testament and the Old Testament, and we call it the Bible. The Old Testament, of course, the word is a Hebrew word, and it is the word for covenant or will. So it would be the old will or the old covenant. The New Testament is the new covenant or the new will. Now, when the Lord Jesus comes, he was the testator of the new covenant of God. Now, when the testator comes on the scene, he is the one who sets forth what this will is going to be. He has the power and the ability to replace any existing will that existed before. Now, it is in his power to do so. Now, we know that many of us have been through that sort of thing in probate court and whatever more with wills that our fathers and mothers or grandparents left, and they included this person and that person. Maybe they made one will and then they got mad at a family member and left them out of the will, and then they got mad at somebody else, and some of them wind up making 25 or 30 wills, and then you got to figure out which is the oldest one or which is the youngest one, which is the middle, which is the last one. That's what I'm concerned about. And then you think, well, this is the last covenant and testament and will of the Lord Jesus. Now, when we look at what the gospel actually is, this is why that the gospel is preached in so many different ways, is because preachers, people of theology, they try to read the will, and they read the will without the spirit of the testator. So they read the will with a carnal mind, and then they try to figure out, well, what did the testator mean? What did he mean? What did he imply? Well, is everybody on the same basis, or is there one group that's different than another group? Is everybody whosoever will, or is everybody elect, or is everybody called, or is everybody chosen? And depending on generally what school they come out of and what type of raising they have, is the way that they will read the will. Then when they read the will that way, that's the way that they're brought up, and that's the way they think, then they will share that will with people they try to witness to. Now, if their view is that all you have to do is accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you've got eternal life, you've got everything you need, for the most part, they'll never try to lead them individuals any farther into the decreed will of God, because that's the way they read the will themselves. So they believe that by being saved, all you've got to do is accept the Lord Jesus and you are saved. And that is true, you are saved, but not sealed. But if you read the will with another enlightenment, then you look at the will and you say, well, that's true, there is salvation, but the apostles were also saved, but they went to an upper room and they got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then you begin to read that portion of the will and you say, now wait a minute, if there's a Holy Ghost, then I want that Holy Ghost too. Well, if he's the same yesterday and forever, then cannot he move among us? And then the more you understand about the will, then the more you read yourself into the will, and it's the same way that you will try to share the will with others. Then as you do read the will, you'll find that the will is divided up into many portions and parts. Now, a person with full understanding of the testator's purpose and mind, he will begin to read the will under the spirit of the testator himself. Now, remember, it was not Moses, it was not Paul, it was the Lord Jesus. Now, this is what makes him different than all the rest of the covenants or testaments that have been brought, in that whenever a man and woman would make their will and they make it out to their children or nephews or grandkids or whoever it is. And then their will does not come into effect until they both die. Then they will appoint an executor. Now that executor has the right of the power of attorney to be able to go before the probate judge and to be able to work through all of these things. And it is his power. He's actually required by state law to carry this out according to the law. If there's any funds missing, he's reliable and he's responsible. And now you think that the Lord Jesus was the judge. He was the lawyer. He was the attorney. He was also the testator, and he was also become the executor of his own will. I mean, he's the whole package. But he had to do it all in sequence in order for it to work. Now, the testament could not be of value as long as the testator lived, but the testator, the nothing said how long the testator had to be dead. So the testator had to die in order for the full effect of the covenant or the will to come into view. But it didn't say how long you had to be dead. So within a under a three-day period, the testator rose and then he became the executor of the will. Amen. The very one to release the power of what was written in the word to bring it to pass. Now, how did he himself do it? He offered himself as a sinless, spotless Lamb of God. But how did he do it? Through the eternal spirit. Now, remember, we're talking about living or dwelling in the galleries with the eternal. How was the man Christ Jesus able to forfeit and give up everything of humanity? How was he able to do it? Because remember, he was totally man, but he was totally God. So he was the mystery of the mediatorial work in one personification of one human being. Now you and I, none of us are that. He was the only one that was that way. God only needed one. So he's working between a holy, sinless God and a sinful man. God himself could not redeem man because God is spirit and God could not die. The eternal cannot die. So God must create something out of this circle of eternity that'll drop down in time and run its course and bring the eternal ones back up into the circle with him. Now this is what Paul is setting forth when he said, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself. So this time it was not the blood of bulls or of goats or of a heifer, but it was the blood of the Lord Jesus. But how did he do this? He did it through the eternal spirit. Now this is very important because he is the beginning of a new priesthood. He is the beginning of the order of Melchizedek. I have sworn and said forever, thou art a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now Jesus is a priest. He's the beginning of that priesthood, and it is a priesthood of an endless life. It is something that is ongoing still yet today. There are people right here today, if you've got the Holy Ghost, you are part of the priesthood of Melchizedek. Amen. Now, how did Jesus do it? As a man, he had ordinary looking human blood, looked like human blood. His eyes looked like human. His hair looked human. His fingernails, his skin. If he would have fallen when he was a little boy and hit his knee on a rock, his little knee would have been bruised and the little skin would have pulled back on his leg and it would have bled human looking blood. His mama, no doubt, many times picked him up as he fell, and maybe out in the carpenter shop and he'd go out there as a little boy and Joseph was out there working and Jesus would pick up a plane or tool or something and he would run it across there and oh my, buried a splinter right there in his finger, and he would grab that finger and cry and run to his mama and begin to scream and cry. He was that much human. He was that much human. So how can a human offer a human sacrifice and be able to expiate or meet the justice of God? There's no way he can do it. So it must be the eternal in the self oblation of the Son. It must be the eternal in the self-sacrifice of the Son. It's the same way with you and I. It must be the eternal in our life that we live every day. This is why people say, I can't do it. I can't do it. I struggle with this. You're trying too hard yourself. If you let the eternal come inside of you, he will help you to do what you cannot do. He does not expect us to do that which we cannot do anyway. Now, watch this. Paul said, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered offered himself. Now remember, as a priest. But he's speaking in a twofold manner because Jesus is not only the priest, but he is also the Lamb. So he is the priest offering himself. Now this is what you're supposed to do. I beseech you therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is only your reasonable service. You also are a priest sacrifice. What was the Lord Jesus? He was a priest sacrifice. So he actually was the priest, which must be without spot. He was also the sacrifice, which must be without spot. What are you? You are also a priest, which must be living a spotless life. And you are offering your life, which also must be spotless, back into the presence of God. Then you are fulfilling what God wants you to be. Will everybody be this? Absolutely, totally not. They cannot, because that's not their portion of the will. You see, to some there has been given a portion of an eternal inheritance. To others will be granted the portion of eternal life. When a will is made, it does not always just exclude everybody else outside the family. But sometimes people will make a will. It will be to family members and, you know, whoever more is in that family. But the testator may be able to say, well, I'll tell you what, this certain person was good to me one day, and they helped me along, and they done this or that. I'd like to leave them a little money. I'd like to leave them a little this and that. And I'd like to leave a little bit for this school over here. Now, you may look at that and read the will and say, well, why would he do that? Why would she say to give any money to so-and-so? You see, some people find when they hear the will read of their family, they find people's names in there that they don't even know. And they're wondering, why in the world was that person's name in the will? Well, just because you don't know him don't mean the testator didn't know him. Now, you see, it's the way it is with the foolish virgin, with the church, with those that will be granted eternal life in Matthew 25, that the family, oh glory, the family of God, their inheritance is totally different than that which is those that are given to them, because the testator goes beyond what we know. This is why we don't know who is and who ain't. But you know what? If I seen the testator dealing with their life and offering them eternal life, offering them mercy, offering them salvation, who am I to say they can't have it? If he by his grace wrote something in his will and he will give it to them, so be it. I said, so be it. Oh, glory to God. Now watch, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself. Now listen how Paul depicts Christ, that he is offering himself. How, Brother Jack? Through the eternal spirit. This now, Jesus the man, the servant of God, was walking in the gallery with the invisible. He was able to offer himself. As the priest, he's doing the offering. As the sacrifice, he is the gift. This is the key to you. Don't you understand why the greatest battle in our life after we become converted is us being able to live a self-denying life? And it don't happen one time. It happens every day of our life. And this is why God so hates selfishness. This is why God hates it when men are so selfish. They want everything in the home and the family to work around them. Or women that's that way. Or a preacher that's that way. Or whoever that's that way. God don't want everything and that working around you. He wants it be able to focus around the body, around the church, around the family, around whatever God is doing. Come on, children. But you see, to be able to project it that way, it must be offered how? Through the eternal. It cannot just be by sitting under teaching. Well, I'm going to try to comply. I'm going to try to figure out how to do this. No, you'll never do it. It must be offered the same way the Lord Jesus did. How did he do it? He offered himself through the eternal spirit. But yet the eternal spirit never bled. The eternal spirit never had to crucify its will. It was the human part that did. Oh my. You see, any act of acceptable self-oblation. Now, oblation was an offering called that in the Old Testament. Any act of acceptable self-oblation on our part must come through the eternal spirit. This is why our attitude is so important when we're doing things for others. You see, when we sacrifice for other people and give to other people, and whether it's money or whatever more, if we don't do it with the right attitude, through the attitude of the eternal, we're not even getting rewarded for that. We regard it. What does God, the Bible say God loves a cheerful giver? Wonder how he feels about somebody that don't like it then. Well, praise the Lord. So a self-oblation that comes from us is a laying aside of a portion of who we are. Laying aside a portion of what I would rather do this and I would rather do that. But I can see really for the church, it would be the more beneficial if I didn't do this or do that. I could see for my family. I could see for whatever more. It would really be more beneficial for the message if I didn't do this or do that or the other. You see, a person who lives like that, they are thinking from up here and sitting of down here. Too many of us live right down here. Well, I don't want to do this, and I don't like that, and I don't want to go here, and I don't like that. You need to get your thinking more up here. Lord, what do you want me to do? What is my eternal purpose? Why am I here? It's not to serve me. And the church said, you see, being a voluntary act of perfect submission to the will of God. How was the Lord Jesus able to do this? Oh, you say he was so perfect. He was, but he was still a human being. Totally sinless. We know that. Without fault, without flaw, any of that. But how was he able to do it? Paul tells us. Through the eternal Spirit. Jesus, listen now. Jesus as a man was not strong enough to be able to do it without prayer. Father, if it be thy will, let this cup, what? Pass from me. My, my. Notice this in Isaiah chapter 53 verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Wait a minute, I thought the blood was an offering. His soul. You see, this is our problem. Soul trouble. This is why the old will, the old covenant, could never be able to change a man's soul. You're offering a human, an animal spirit, an animal body, animal blood, but the animal had no soul. So God had to create a perfect soul that would be able to stand in your place, amen, and be offered by a sinless high priest. Now remember, God, the eternal, cannot come down and do it. He cannot do it himself. That would be so unfair for the eternal to be able to stand in your stead and say, I'm your high priest. The eternal, which has never sinned, which has never done wrong, which has never even felt the very pull of sin, that's my high priest. But the eternal could indwell in a human body, a creation of his own. And let that human body feel pain. Let that human body cry. Let that human body feel the, oh my, the very pull of sin. Never sin, but be tempted to. Glory to God. Notice Isaiah said, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. Praise the Lord. It makes no difference to me, friends, how much folks in this message want to fight predestination and the seed of God. It's God's Bible. You're only cutting your own throat off. You ain't stopping us from preaching. We're going to preach and believe it anyhow. It's God's attributes. It's his seed. He shall see his seed. Now, the sacrifice was offered to God because we had sinned against God's justice and his judgment. And there must be an atonement that will be acceptable in the justice of God for all of us. And yet the Lord Jesus was totally man and totally God. So the separation of how this must work must come from the eternal, but it's got to come down in this little block of time. Up here, he could have never died. The Logos could have never died. Being that pillar of fire, that great light of God, he could have never died. So he has to come down here in time in that block of time in order to let him become a man which could bleed and die and suffer for us. Oh, praise the Lord. Notice in St. John 10:15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for absolutely everybody that'll ever live and everybody that'll ever... You see, the reason people believe that is because that's what they've been taught the will says. But that ain't what the testator said. Amen. Now watch, as the Father knows me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life, say it with me, for the sheep. And the church said,
amen.
For the sheep. Verse 17, therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Now this is essential. This is essential that the Lamb do it on his own submission of his human will. It was Adam choosing his own will above the Word of God. So it must be turned right back around and a human will be submissive to the will of God in order for the expiation or the total annihilation of all of our sins. So he says, the Father loves me because I laid down my life for the sheep. And he says it again, therefore doth my Father love me because I laid down my life that I might take it again. Notice this in verse 18. As he says, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Now let me ask you. Jesus is giving us one of the reasons he's loved by God. Why does God love you? Oh, I'm in Christ. Then you're a group identity. You're not an individual. Jesus said, the Father loves me because I do this and this and this. You see, there's some things about the will of God, our destiny, and many things about the will of God that is pre-planned by God, foreordained, predestinated. But it's like there's an element of space around our existence, and God will leave much of that choice, how close we are to Him, how submissive we are to Him, much of what we do left up to you. Praise the Lord. Now, notice this. As the Lord Jesus identifies himself in time, knowing that he come from the eternal, but yet he brings that upon himself and says, the Father loves me because I'm going to do this. Well, why don't he just love him because he was of the eternal? You see, once you spin off from the eternal, it's as if though God gives you this existence within this eternal existence. And God wants you, after you branch off from him, to be like him, not because you're a pre-programmed robot, but because you are down here in life with a human will, but you are sacrificing that human will and you're doing things because you feel like that's what he wants you to do. He may not even tell you do this and this, but you look at it and you evaluate it and you say, how would Jesus do in this? It ain't enough to wear one of the bracelets. I've seen a lot of folks with their bracelets on that I knew what they had between their fingers. Jesus wouldn't do it. They hold that bracelet up that between their fingers and I'm thinking, wow, I know Jesus wouldn't suck on them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now you see, when he came to the earth, he knew no doubt what his great position was. We know that, and it gave him faith. But notice now what Paul says in verse 15, Hebrews 9:15. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament. Now the word mediator, whichever you want to pronounce it, is the translation of mesetes, which refers to one who intervenes between two. Either to make and restore peace and friendship, to form a compact, or to ratify a covenant. Now watch what this position of the Lord Jesus was to do. He's to stand between two. And of course you know who that two was. It was God on the one side of holiness and purity. It was all of humanity, including the elect, on the other side, because the elect were lost when the book of life was lost as well. Now watch. So he stands there. So God designed an eternal inheritance for some of those that would be found in his will. And some of them, he's going to let them come in later. Now, for some persons, he designated because they are attributes of his thinking. Now, the covenant covenant of grace here is called what Paul terms it, a testament. And the testament, or it will, must receive ratification. And it must receive what they also call attestation. And it must be attested to that it is a legal, true, binding document. And it must be proven that it did come from the person whose signature or seal is on that document. All things required in a testament or a covenant must be vindicated by God in order to be able to be proven that it is really from Him. This is why I love Simon among us, because we're not reading a historical seal, we're seeing His presence with us right now. Now watch, when the testator is deceased, then the will comes into existence. Now, it was absolutely proven that the testator was the spokesman for God. He said, the works that I do, he said, you do these and greater. He said, if you can't believe me, believe the works, because I come from God. So God was verifying and testifying that this was his spokesman of the new will. Now, God has the will, of course, in his mind in the courthouse in heaven. But the Lord Jesus is now on the earth speaking the will of God. Now, there are times, of course, when a will be accepted, when sailors are dying, or whenever a soldier on a battlefield is dying and he knows he's dying, and there may be some of his buddies there. Hey, listen, I know I'm dying. I tell my mama this. I want to give this to that. I don't want to do that to that. And they'll take that with two or three witnesses. Yet, when they get back to where they can, that must also be written down. God demands in his own law that there must be seals placed upon the will in order to protect it, not only from the deception of Satan, but that the persons being revealed in that will also bear the mark of the seal in their own soul. So the book is sealed, and the prophet said, you are sealed with the book yourself. Same Holy Ghost that seals the book seals you. Now watch, so the covenant, all that is required in the testament must have been revealed in the Lord Jesus as it drops down in time from the eternal. From the eternal purpose of God comes forth this great divine love. Now watch this, he says, for this cause he is the mediator of the new testament. So the testator is making the last will and testament. This is why we do not accept the Quran as inspired. You can follow Shintoism if you want to. I say it's a bunch of malarkey. You can be a Muslim if you want to, but I'll tell you, you're going to hell. There's only one Savior, and that's not Muhammad. Praise the Lord. There's only one Savior, and that's the Lord Jesus. He was not just a good man. He was a God man. There is a great difference. I said he wasn't just a good man. He was a God man. Now, being that he was the testator, then from him must come the very plan of God. Now, even this is why that we believe that when God would send a prophet to us, that he would never go contrary to that written word. Right. Praise the Lord. Brother Branham told us that he preached what Paul preached. Hold on to your seat. But let me tell you this. There's things that Brother Branham preached that Paul never preached. There's no need for Paul to preach against television. There wasn't none. There wasn't no need for Paul to preach against some of the things that Brother Branham had to preach against, because it wasn't in existence. And come on, don't get quiet now. Oh, people in the message think they want to check out the prophet. They got to have a scripture for this. I mean, you talking about pitiful cases. People that think they're going to check out a prophet. You think a prophet is just another preacher with a concordance? You think a prophet is just another preacher that studies that scripture, and you've got to prove that prophet wrong? Get next to yourself, you knothead. Get the Holy Ghost and you'll realize what a prophet of God is. A prophet ain't just another preacher with a concordance under his arm. I'm checking out the prophet. I'm checking out the prophet. You might ought to have your wits checked out. Well, praise the Lord. Well, bless God, I'll tell you one thing. Brother Adam didn't say, thus saith the Lord here, and thus saith the Lord, and I ain't taking it. Go right ahead and go on to hell with it, if that's the attitude you got. Well, my, you're getting quiet on me. When the prophet of God come, he was was not a testator of a new will. He simply come to return our hearts back to the original testament. He come to turn our hearts back to the original will, because the Lord Jesus was the final say of the testament. Brother Branham did not come and say, well, there's a new way of salvation. Now you got to be baptized in my name. The Jesus' name will no longer work. That's absolute false doctrine. He never come and said, well, you got to come to Branham Tabernacle. Well, you can't preach no more. You got to play tapes. That's Antichrist. The testator called preachers, not tape players. Well, hallelujah. Now you see, people can read into it what they want, but that don't mean they're heir to what the will says. Oh my. Now what's this in verse 16? For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. So among men, then the will can only come into effect. Well, oh, Uncle John died. You won't bone bell alive. He died, bless his heart. And what do you leave me here? Man alive, I hate to read his will. Can we do it right after we bury him? Come on, no such thing. Look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. There's been more family feuds and more families falling out over money. After daddy died, mama died, and grandpa died, people, folks won't speak to one another no more. Come on now, don't sit there and act like your family's a bunch of angels. They are. They're just like mine, fallen ones. Praise the Lord. You see, the testator expressed in on a piece of paper, or maybe many, many pieces of paper according to his wealth and the value of what he had. The testator comes and he expresses what is in his mind. So he has this written down, and it is the very thoughts of the testator himself. Now, I want so-and-so to get this, and I want this one to get that, but there is requirements in order for this to be met. Now, so-and-so has got to go here, and so-and-so cannot do this, because if they do that, they're automatically taken out of the will. So there are things that are requirements that are inside the will, and the testator himself. It is not the person sitting there writing it down. It's not even the person who stands up later and reads the will. You see, this is what preachers, many of them, have tried to do. They've tried to take the will and modify it. And they add a little here, take away a little bit there, and they modify it. But God don't want a modifier. God wants a man that'll stand up and preach the will like it is. He wants it so that you can read your will at home, and when you come to church, you're hearing the same thing you read before you come to the house of God. Praise the Lord. That's real God called men. But other men will take the will and they'll tamper with it and they'll fool with it, because if somehow they can be able to work themselves in that will and try to convince you that you, oh my, you've just got to have them. You just, I mean, there ain't no way in the world for you to go on the rapture unless you just get this certain man's tapes or his CDs. You just can't do it at all. I mean, you've got to be hooked into Trinidad and you've got to be hooked into Louisiana or hooked into Johnson City. That's a bunch of garbage. There is one office that is globally known and affected around the world, and that is a prophet. God has called no one pastor to pastor the world. Well, glory. My, my. Now what? After the testator dies, then the will starts becoming expressed, because it is his thoughts revealed. His death is what brings the finality of this course of time to where that they know everything that the testator wanted to get over. Now everything, why didn't Jesus live 150 years or 50 years or 75 years? Because the eternal spirit got every word out of him that was necessary for his part of the will. Now what he's going to do, he's going to have a prophet that's going to come in that first age called Paul, and he's going to anoint him with the same spirit of the testator, and he will start bringing out things that neither Peter or another rest of the other brothers did, James, because he is the very mouthpiece of the testator himself. Well, come on now. So what is God doing? God is now revealing his will. So it is the eternal still broke down in time, God using human vessels. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now, you see, people may question its meaning. They may question, well, why would he do that? Why would he say that? I don't understand. Because you question it does not mean it takes away from its validity. It does not take away from its genuineness. It does not take away that God has already proved it to be the truth. You'll be the one to lose out, not God. Going to go on. Now, you see, even the testator himself, once he passed and raised again from the dead, he could not alter his word. God can add to revelation, but he can never set a revelation and then change it. Say, oh, I was wrong there. He can add to it and magnify what has been revealed, but he cannot change because it is the will of the testator and it comes from his mind. So the death of Christ not only made it irrevocable, but it also made it unchangeable in principle and in theory. Now God will absolutely add to it as he did in the days of Paul and in this day that we live in now when God has assured it again. But it still goes back to the same original dispensational will of God. Oh, watch this in Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You ain't just saved, you're saved to the uttermost. I ain't barely hanging on, I'm one of them uttermost guys. Now, if you're hanging on, let me tell you, there's an uttermost realm that if your name is in the uttermost book, you can come to the uttermost position and be one of the uttermost Christians and live in the uttermost world and eat the uttermost, all my delectable food, and also be changed in an uttermost body change. That's uttermost, isn't it? He's able to save them, not just barely save you, just barely reach down and pull you away from the devil and just kind of leave you hanging over hell the rest of your life and your toes is frying and your toenails is all burnt and you go to heaven with all scrunched up toenails because that's as far as he could save you. He saves you so much, there is not one resemblance of sin left in your life. He makes you such a new creature, there is not one speck of you that's anything like the world at all. It has totally been annihilated and you are a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Oh, glory. But you see, it's not enough that even a human will just be written. It's got to be proven. Now, somebody could maybe learn Brother Terry's signature, sit down and write a will of some sort. But you know what? That will's got to be proven. This is why the elect in every age has had the testator, the executor, the judge, the jury, the attorney in every revival and every move of God. We're not just standing up, well, he said, we say he said, and here he is to prove what he said. We say that. He said this, and he said that, and he said that, and he said that, and he said that. Now we say, now come on, Lord Jesus, show yourself among us. Amen. Oh, glory. You see, the will must be, the legal term, I wrote some of these down. The will must be attested. It must be proved to be authentic and genuine. It must be shown to be the will of that very person whose will it purports to be. So if this is the will of God, how can we know for sure? Well, people say, well, the Bible's been around. There's all kinds of mistakes in it here and there and there. And it was handled by all different kinds of men. I want to preach a sermon sometime. I've got all the stuff for it. Of the authenticity of this word. But you know, you realize that our God didn't just vindicate it 2,000 years ago. He's still doing it. He said, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Did we see that? Yeah. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They'll cast out devils. Did we see that? He's still testifying that the book is his and he wants to attest to you and I. Paul was already attested to. James and the rest of believers in their day. And he wants to make it so real to you that if any liar comes around trying to tell you, you can't trust that will, it ain't no good. You say, don't tell me, buddy. I've got the executor himself right here with me. Amen. I ain't just packing a book under my arm. I'm carrying the God of this book in my soul. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Watch this in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Now notice who started it. It was first spoken unto us by the testator. Then, notice how the continuing work of the testator works in those who are under the power of the executive branch now, under the ministry of the high priest. You see, the Lord Jesus gave his life, and that ended the testatorial part. So no more is he adding to the word, bring something new, change it around. No. Then he moves over into the position of executor of the will. He's the one who goes before the judge. I'll never face the judge. Oh, glory to God. Oh, my. When I was executor, mom and daddy's will, there was a little disputes about this and that and the other come up between my brothers and my sisters. And I had to call some of them, you know, say, now look, I'm the executor of the will. And if I have to, I'll do thus and so and thus and so. I don't want to, but if you're all squabbling and fussing over this, that, and the other, I'll do it. Thankfully, I didn't have to. But I had the authority by the law of the state of Kentucky to do what I needed to do. Praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus has been designated as our executor of his own will. He will bring to pass what he says. Amen. So if that devil's binding you, take your handcuffs off and lock him up. Amen. You're not just taking a scripture. You got the power of the executor to make this word live in your own heart. Oh, thank you, Lord. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost. Notice now in verse 4 of chapter 2. Paul said, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders. Oh, my goodness. But some of the message preachers aren't known by signs and wonders and miracles and signs. Are known by doctrine, 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 and more doctrine. Or fussing, 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 and more fussing. I've never found that as a sign of a preacher. Well, glory. Some of the best argues you'll ever want to deal with preachers around this message. That's one thing I refuse to do. Brother Bram said, God don't argue, neither do his children. I'll take the low road and look idiotic and do whatever. I ain't arguing with folks. God also bearing them witness both to signs and wonders with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. What? According to his own will. Ah. So the executor was working among them, bringing to pass his will with supernatural elements among them which they could not produce. I couldn't heal anybody in this building tonight if my life depended on it. If you had a 45 to my head and said, if you don't heal somebody, we're going to kill you, I just said, go ahead and do it. Because I can't heal nobody. If you don't perform a miracle, if you don't do this, if you don't perform a sign, there ain't no way in the world I could do it. But if the executor tells me to do it, me and him together is quite a team. But I can't do it without him. You can't do it without him. But what is it? It constantly comes back to the power of the executor. I stand good. I'm a reader of his will, a preacher of his will. And I tell you, God wants to do this. God wants to do this. I obey his bidding, follow his word. Then the executor comes down and releases power and authority for me, excusia, which is authority, and gives me and these other brothers the authority to cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, and you see things done that only God himself can do. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me read you this word here. This is necessary that the legatee may become aware what is bequeathed to them. Now, a legatee is a recipient of a part of the will. Whether it's money or goods or houses or lands, or the Holy Ghost, or revelation, or supernatural. You see, Christ ordained that his disciples go forth and start spreading the understanding of this will. Now, depending on who they were with, they would preach differently. You see, when Jesus was in the public, he spoke in parables. When he was with his legates, and they asked him, said, why do you speak this way? He said, because unto you it's given to know the mysteries of God. But unto them I speak in parables, lest they should hear and understand. You mean he can do that? He's the testator. If your daddy is a millionaire and he wills you 575 pounds of grape bubble gum, and he gives your brother $1 million and your sister 1.3 and whatever more, but he gives you grape bubble gum. I don't care how much you kick, how much you stomp, how mad you get, you are not going to change that if that will has been attested that it's his. I don't care how much foolish virgin try to be bride, they won't be it no matter how much they try. Come on now, and I don't care how sorry you are, how low down you are, how full of mistakes you are, if you are bride, you will never become foolish virgin. Why? Because God ordained you to be bride. You are part of the dispensation of eternal inheritance. Now, remember, everybody in this world is not ordained to believe this message. Should we witness about Christ? Sure. You see somebody that needs the Lord in their life, you feel that impulse of the Spirit of God, tell them about the Lord. Don't introduce them to the seals and the seven thunders and all this and that. They may never grasp that, but they might be saved. It don't mean they'll be sealed, but they might be saved. When you go to introduce the message, yo, let me have your message book. Well, be led of the Spirit of God, that God will lead you over to a legatee, another brother in the faith that don't know it's in the faith yet. And what will it do? Then the executor himself. Who do you think knows more about this will? You or the executor? Well, if he sees another one of his legatees out there, cannot he use your mouth and use your human instrumentality to be able to talk them on legatee terms? But of course, if they're just on the other side of that will and they'll be saved and they'll have life, he might not inspire you to go any farther than John 3:16. Don't get mad at me, friends. I didn't write the will. My mom and daddy didn't have much of anything. They was poor pretty much all their lives. So whenever they passed and we finally settled everything, they didn't have much to leave. There wasn't nothing to fight and squabble over. There was very little for us to deal with. But they divided it all equally. Or I did, rather. Why did I do it? Because that's what the will said. So they had seven kids. So I'm the firstborn. Don't I get a double portion? Not in the Reagan family, I didn't. Praise the Lord. So what was I supposed to do? By law, I had to open a special account. My name had to be on there. I had to close the account. I had to register with the state of Kentucky. I had so many days to file the form. Being the executor is a big responsibility. Ain't it, sir? I'm glad the executor of the will, that's his place and not mine. You see, a lot of preachers in the message think they're the executor. Well, you can go and you can't go and you're in and you're out. I guess again, pal, your name ain't on the account. You don't have executor power. Only the Lord Jesus has that. Oh, my. Now, a will can be written to include family members, friends, corporations, companies, foundations, or endowments that are set up for certain foundations. And with most wills, there will be terms that goes along with that will. Amen. Praise the Lord. In all of these wills, the disposing of the property will be up to the executor to make sure that by law He is disposing exactly. Now, if the testator said, I'll tell you what, I've got a bunch of these pictures here by this artist and that one, and that one. I want Donnie to have this one. I want Jack to have that one. I want Jimmy to have that one. And I want so-and-so to have that one. And he said, now, but the rest of my estate, I want to take this place over here, and I want to give that to so-and-so. And then this place over here, I'm going to divide that. And this place over here, I'm going to divide that this way. And then he says, then I want to take this certain account. Depending on what all he's got and what his mind is, it can be a very complicated mystery. You know, the devil ain't got a big estate. So his inheritance is really quite simple. It's hell. Praise the Lord. He ain't got much to offer. He ain't got no healing. He ain't got no peace. He ain't got no power. He ain't got no forgiveness. He ain't got no love. But the economy of God is so complex in the diversities of the groups of the people. This is why people are so confused, even around the message about election and predestination. They are reading the will with an Armenian view or a Baptist view or a Church of God view. And they go to the scripture, oh, but I bless God, this is a scripture. I've got my finger on a scripture. Sure you do. And it's the will of the testator. But the problem is many people try to apply a scripture which fits for only one category of people, and they try to apply it to every category in the economy, and it don't work for everybody. You see, some inherit by descent, some inherit by favorability, some inherit by compassion, love, and mercy. They're not deserving. They're not part of the family. But they inherit because the testator's heart is so full of love. Now let's look at a little group. We're not going to get through with it all tonight for sure. But let's look at a little group in the will. We'll call these the whosoever will group. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Notice he doesn't say they'll get the Holy Ghost. Verse 29. Take. Now, wait a minute. Here is a will, portion of the will, which is designated not inclusive to the elect. But all those that are laboring, all of those that are really under a load, but even with that, there are stipulations. Notice verse 29. Take my yoke. Uh-oh. Now, wait a minute. We can't shout in that verse 28 and really get the benefit of the will unless we take verse 29 with it. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Oh my, how preachers of this day quote that scripture and how they live out the next one. Take my Cadillac, BMW, Mercedes, my money, my gold, my silver. Take my yoke. Oh my goodness. A yoke, now for us, it's hard for us to relate to a yoke, but a yoke was a big piece of wood most of the time, which was wrapped with a piece of wool or cloth or something like that, and they would yoke up two animals, at least two, sometimes four, and they would yoke them up together to pull a load. They were forbidden by the law to yoke certain animals together. Here Jesus says, now, if you want rest, come to me. But in order to receive this portion of my will, you've got to be yoked up with me. Now, you imagine you're on one side of the yoke and Jesus is on the other, and you're spitting Ambien out of your mouth right on Jesus. Or you're blowing cigarette smoke in Jesus' face, or you're talking, you know, like the world talks and listen to their music, and you're on one side of the yoke and Jesus on the other. Now, you see, this is part of the will, but it comes with these, are you folks following me? It comes with these stipulations. You will not receive rest unless you go into the yoke. Take take my yoke upon you. Now take, this is an action verb. Take my yoke upon you and learn. Now this is the Greek word gnosis, which means to understand, to comprehend. And it will translate into a behavior in your life. So you take and you learn. So, I mean, where's all this modern day Christianity? Well, I'm saved. I'm saved. Where do you go to church? I don't go to church. I'm not a church going Christian. How can you be? How can you be a Christian and deny going to church? That's one thing if you live in an area where there ain't no church. But when there's churches all around you and you ain't going to go because you don't think it's required. We're living in that age. Oh, my. This is part of the stipulations the executor told me to read. So, I mean, as I said, please don't get mad at me. I'm just the mailman. This is your mail. This is yours. This is yours. Don't get mad at me. I'm only the mailman. Oh, my. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Notice where the rest of your soul come from, though. After the phrase of obedience, you don't get the rest unto your souls in the first part. You get the rest unto your soul after the, out of the will once you take and once you learn. So if you don't, then God forgives you of your past sins, and then in a week's time you're right back out doing the same thing you'd done before. Oh, there ain't nothing to it. I tried it. There ain't nothing to it. This ain't Coke or Dr. Pepper. You ain't really tried it until you've obeyed the word. Oh, I tried and it failed. It don't fail. Notice the other conditions of the will, St. John 3:14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth. But look at the meaning of this word versus what people think it means. Commit unto. Commit to one's trust. To think to be true. To be persuaded of. To credit. A person believing on Jesus as their Savior doesn't mean they just sat there, oh, God sent his Son of the world to die. Oh, I believe that. Oh, well, I'm saved. That's not what the word even means. It means you commit to his trust. That's right. So if he tells you not to dress a certain way, do a certain thing, live a certain way, you trust him. Right. Oh, I've got eternal life. I believed on the Lord Jesus. Not if you didn't commit your life to him, you didn't. Praise the Lord. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. St. John 7:37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. And two verbs again. Stuff you got to do. Verse 38, he that believeth, pastillo, the word we just read, on me as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Romans 10:8, very common passage of scripture used to lead sinners to Christ, as we say. But what saith that the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart? That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, but not sealed, not filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, will people go in on this part? Yes. If their name is identified in that part of the will. But you won't be able to. I won't be able to stand here tonight and quote the scripture and say, well, I don't need the message. I don't need holiness. Oh, I believe the Lord Jesus. Oh, no. my name is identified in a different portion of the will. You see, mine is identified with the breaking of the seals, which includes the mystery of the will itself. And so is yours. Now, notice Paul goes on to say, from the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do we believe this? Do you notice Jesus nor Paul, in referring to the saved, doesn't say they'll be bride, or doesn't say they'll be elect, but says they will be saved. And the church said,
amen.
Verse 14, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him and whom they have... Oh my goodness, should I read that? And how shall they hear without a... Preacher. Now this is the will. This is the testament. So those who want to take preachers out of the pulpit and replace them with tapes are under Antichrist influence. Oh, Brother Don, you need to put Brother Branham back in the pulpit. I never took him out. God did. If God wanted Brother Branham to be here, he'd still be here today. Well, he'd be 100 years old or whatever. That don't make no difference to God. And he could send Moses 120 if God wanted him to be here alive and preaching, he'd still be here alive and preaching. Come on, don't you get quiet on me. This is the will. Do we believe it or not? This is what the testament, this is the original. It cannot be changed for nobody. We do not have the power or the authority to change the will. The executor himself was the one who gave it. Oh my. 1 Timothy 2:3. Let me close. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. Okay, so he will have all men to be saved, but yet all men won't be saved. So how could he will something that won't happen? You see, it depends upon whether it comes from a written will of him not being willing that they should perish, and it comes down here, or if it comes from here. Well, that like to choke some of y'all to death. Some of y'all was at Walmart and some of you's going through Dairy Queen, but you woke up then. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. To the bride, to read the will. It's not his will that everybody be bride. It's not his will that nobody perish. Well, why will they? Because they want to. Let's stand together. Let's read Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. Notice the difference of the designation. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth, him that has the ability to hear, let him say, come. But notice this part. And let him that is athirst not say, come, but come. So the bride and the Spirit is saying the same thing. But there's a thirsty group. They can't say what the bride and the Spirit says, but it says, y'all can't say what they say. But if you want to come, Go ahead and come on anyway. You're talking about grace. This is the will, friend. Remember, I didn't write this. You didn't write this. The testator himself. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take. Let him take. Notice he does not say about the bride. Let the bride take. But whosoever will. I'm sorry y'all hadn't read the Bible this way. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you've been reading it a Baptist way, and an Armenian way, an Episcopalian way, and a Presbyterian way, even though you've been in the message for 332 years. Friends, we need to clean this trash out. We need to read it under the spirit of the testator, which has become our executor. Hallelujah. Again, I'm referring to him about me being an executor, but you know, whenever I found out, my younger brother, Jamie, lived in Kentucky, so I just took for granted Jamie was the executor. He lived there. So when Daddy passed away and Harry, we all went down, then was all sitting there, and Jamie got out the book, didn't he? He got out the little box or filing thing, whatever it was they had it in, because he figured it, and I figured it, and everybody figured it. Jamie was the executor. But he got it out, and he opened it up, and he said, Donnie, you're the executor. You could have knocked me over with a wet noodle. Nothing of my mom and daddy hated me, but I was down here. I knew nothing about their affairs and their situation. So once I found who I was, then I got to researching what my place was. So I went online in the state of Kentucky and started trying to figure out what am I supposed to do, and what am I supposed to, you know, kind of the way that I am. When I find out I'm somebody, I kind of go to researching and looking to kind of find out what my place is and what my responsibility is. And come on now. If you're a bride, don't you want to know who you are and what your place is and what your responsibility is? Some of what I read about that was plumb scary. I was liable for this and liable for that. And I had so many days to file this form. And my, the state comment said, Mr. Reagan, have you? I said, yes, ma'am. I've done sent that thing in. I've got a copy of it here. I've done exactly what y'all told me to do. It was in a realm I'd never been before. A place I'd never been before. But let me stand here and tell you tonight, I'm so glad I am not the executor of your will. I'm glad I'm not the executor of your destiny. I wouldn't want Moses to be the executor of my destiny. Don't get mad at me. I wouldn't want Paul to be it. And let me just tell you the truth. I wouldn't want Brother Branham to be it, because Brother Branham was a human being. There's only one person I would want to be the executor of my soul salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise be to God. Let's bow our heads together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, I am so grateful to see beyond our traditional views. There are no telling how many millions of people, millions, that will be there that day. People that will be totally surprised that they made it. We didn't know their name was on that portion of the book. No doubt many family members and relatives have been surprised when they read a will and found out this one was to do this and this one was to get that. But Lord, your greatness required such expression. Your bride would have been a wonderful work. Wonderful. Praise God. But as she dropped down in time, there was people that was nice to her and kind to her. There was people who didn't want to perish and be lost. You picked them up along the way, coming back home. Praise God. Actually, they never come from there, so it wasn't their home originally. But it will be their home
after they've given a portion there. I wasn't born a Tennessean. I wasn't born here in Johnson City. I was a Kentuckian. And there's ways about me that'll always be Kentucky, no doubt. But I've lived here now, Lord, for all these years now. So when I go back down to where I was raised, it don't feel like home no more. Mama's gone. Daddy's gone. Many of the faces I used to know are gone. So it don't feel like home no more. So now I call this home. The foolish virgin and many of those that'll come up at that day accepted you. Many of them lived a life all they knew to live. They never come from heaven, so when they sing Beulah Land, they think about it in a different term than the way we do. To that land I've never been before. And we say it that way, but we have that little funny feeling down in our heart thinking, but really in one way I have been there. They don't think that when they sing it. And the reason of it is because they were not there. But they were picked up in time along the journey. The grace and the mercy of God, which wrote out His will by descent. And He wrote out His will by favorability. And He wrote out a portion of His will by kindness. A portion of His will by whosoever will. A portion of His will of them that's athirst, let them come. They can't say what the bride says. They can't say what the Spirit says. But they're thirsty, so I'll save them too. And they see John 3:16 and they believe it. Oh Lord. But then we're reminded in the book of Acts, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray if there's one here tonight, Lord, that has not met you, may you help them. Whether they're an Abraham type, a Lot type, whether they're the bride type or just the thirsty type. If they want to be saved, if they don't want to be lost, they don't have to be. This is a difference in foreknowledge and predestination in the sense of you predetermining that these individuals be lost. Oh, you know who will and who won't. But it's not your will that any should perish. You're not willing. So you did not predetermine it by your will that they would be. But you know by your foreknowledge you will. So if they want to change that tonight, they can. Lord Jesus, help each of us. Those of us who are bride. Those of us who's in that lamb's portion. Hallelujah. Of the will of God. May we also realize, Heavenly Father, that we have in our own power, our own estate, so much that's left to us. Lord Jesus, I want you to love me not only because I'm in Christ. I want you to love me not only because I'm in the Beloved, but I want you to love me for individual traits that I have of who I am. The scripture says whenever David's child with Bathsheba died, that David went into his wife and knew her and comforted her. And she conceived and brought forth a son, and they called his name Solomon. But the scripture says, and the Lord loved him. And he sent the prophet to David's house and changed his name and called him Jedidiah because of the Lord. You loved him. Praise God. You loved him. No doubt you loved all of David's sons. Why was it only said about him? The only one. It was said that you loved him. You saw what he was going to do, the traits. There was something about it. Lord Jesus, may you look at us as individuals. May you look at these brothers. May you see something about them. They want to be like you in being a husband. They want to be like you in being a father. May these sisters, may you have a special love for them because they have a special love back for you. That you can look at them and say, my father loves me. You could answer it back, I do love you. And they can answer back, my father loves me, not because just I'm in Christ, but because I'm fervent for him. I'm zealous for his work. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. How many wants the Lord to help you tonight in your walk? You want God to love you as an individual? You want God to look at your zeal and your desire and whatever more about you and say, I love Greg because this and this. I love Samuel because this and this. I love Keith because of this and this. Or you want God to look at you and say, well, I love you because you're in Christ. I appreciate that. I'm accepted because I'm in the Beloved. But I want God to look at me as an individual and say, I love Donnie. He'll stand for me if nobody stands again with him. He'll stand for me, let people run him down, threaten to kill him, let them do whatever. I love Donnie for that. I love Donnie because he don't compromise. I don't want. I love Donnie because he's in Jesus. I love Donnie because he's in Jesus. I love Donnie because he's in Jesus. I want him to love me because I'm me. You understand? Because I'm me. Amen. Hey, let's sing together. Mercy rewrote my life. You love him with all your heart. Oh, praise God. You'll have to find your place in the will now. You got to find where you fit. You got to find your name there and find your position. And not just see how little you can get by with, but see what's yours. What's yours? And what God can do with you and what you can do for God. Let's sing it together. Mercy rewrote my life. Come on, let's worship him a little bit now. Mercy rewrote. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Brother Dale Potter fell yesterday, missed a step walking and hurt his leg and hurt his shoulder, can't hardly move his arm. But he said he thought he'd come up here tonight to get us to pray for him.
Praise
that ain't like driving from Irwin since he lives down in Manchester.
Amen.
If he's got enough faith to believe that God can do it,
yes, sir.
I believe that we'd just reach out tonight and ask the Lord to move for our brother. Heavenly Father, you see the need of my brother. Lord, as he sat in my office before church, just talking a little bit in fellowship, and I saw him, Lord, the grimacing of pain on his face. I thought in my mind, no doubt, it was painful for him to come up today, make that journey of several hours. But Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd help our brother. We lay our hands on him tonight, Father, as a body. We ask you, Lord. This is part of what's in our will. The will says, by your stripes we are healed. The will says that they shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. Lord, we sing you right here Wednesday night, do one thing after another. Lord, we know you're right here again tonight the same way you was then. And we believe you, Father. I pray that there'll be no lasting damage to my brother's body, to his leg or to his arm or to his shoulder. May the presence of God help him, Lord. May every symptom of it leave my brother's body. In Jesus Christ's name. Praise God. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the saints said,
Amen.
Amen. Look, children, the promise is not given to everybody, but to him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Not everybody. Not everybody will overcome. Not everybody, as we preached here Wednesday night, will be given the ability to knock down, drag down, put handcuffs on demons and send them screaming. But that is part of my will. That's part of my inheritance. Is it yours? Now, it'd be a real shame if you was included in that and just a coward to use it. Praise the Lord. If it's ours, let's pray God will anoint our face to be able to move to the level to where we can accept what's ours. Oh, if you're living in spiritual poverty and God's got your name on richest book of heaven, come on, pal, let's move up. Let's move up a little higher in God to be what God wants us to be. If you're a portion of that book, why would you want to live on the spiritual poverty level? Let's move up higher in the kingdom of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Harry, let's sing something a little rejoicing line. Thank you, Lord, whatever's on your heart. Praise be to God. Let's just rejoice a little bit tonight. In the Lord, can we? Praise the Lord, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I'm rich in faith and hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion just over in glory. I'm a rightful heir. I'm rich in faith and hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion over in glory. I'm a rightful heir. My father owns a cattle on a thousand hills. I believe I own at least one. I stand amazed when I see his face, knowing that I'm his son.
I'm rich in faith and hope and love.
I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion over in glory. I'm a rightful heir. I got a guardian angel watching me. He's with me in heaven above. I breathe just a simple prayer. I'm rich in faith and hope and love. I got more than my share. I've been moving to my mansion over in glory. I'm a rightful heir.
I'm rich in faith and hope and
watching me. He's with me everywhere. When I need my Father up in heaven above,
thank you, Lord.
I breathe just a simple prayer.
I'm rich in faith and hope and love.
I got more than my share. I'm moving to my mansion over in glory. I'm a rightful heir.
Let's sing together before we go. We've been made more than conquerors,
overcomers in this life.
Let's sing it now. Sing it like you really mean it.
We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Everybody.
Made more than conquerors. victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, we've been made more than conquerors.